While I was in seminary, I worked as a nanny for a family who had a 3-year-old son named Michael. And Michael got to watch 30 minutes of television per day. And Michael would save up until 3:30 in the afternoon. Because at 3:30 in the afternoon, Power Rangers came on. Every day, he watched Power Rangers. And do you know what his favorite thing to play was? Power Rangers. That's right. Flipping and fighting and kicking and wrestling every afternoon. He loved them. He wanted to be like them. To activate their powers, the Power Rangers morphed with a cheer. It wasn't Pig Suey. It was Ninja Ranger power now. It's morphin' time. White Power Ranger, Black Power Ranger, Pink Power Ranger, Blue Power Ranger, Yellow Power Ranger, Red Power Ranger. And just like that, regular old teenagers became Power Rangers, ready to take on the villain of the day. My kids will attest to you that they didn't get to watch much Power Ranger. Because I knew what would happen. The flipping and the kicking and the fighting and the wrestling as they imitated their heroes. Paul knows too, as he is writing to the church at Philippi, that we imitate our heroes. And so he warns the Philippians to choose wisely, and us too, to choose wisely who our heroes are going to be. Paul encourages them to imitate him and other people who live like him. He writes, "Our citizenship is in heaven. We are visitors in a foreign land." When you go someplace foreign, you have to take something with you. What is it? It's a little blue passport. And when you get there, they want to stamp your passport, right? And if you're going to be there for very, they also want to see your ticket back. They want to know you're leaving again. But if you're going to be there for very long, and in some countries particularly, you have to have a visa to go along with your passport, right? And that visa might be a visitor travel visa, or it might be a work visa. Well, here's what Paul tells us. We are citizens in a foreign land. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so we travel here on a work visa. And that visa is only good for a certain amount of time. We have clearance to work, but our visa is going to expire. And we're going to go home. So Paul warns that we shouldn't live like many do while we're here in this foreign land. Paul says there are some who end up destroyed because they spend their time on their work visa making sure that their bellies are full and that their lives are satisfied. And their minds are set on earthly things. Many, he says, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. What does that mean? Remember that he's writing to the church in Philippi. And Philippi was known as the Little Rome. And the reason it was known as the Little Rome is it was a very powerful city. And a lot of retired Roman soldier veterans had gone there to live. And if you were a retired Roman soldier veteran, that meant that you had the power of self-government. And so Philippi was sort of under its own government, and they were free of taxes. It was a very powerful city. So what Paul is saying is that many wield the power of victory, that earthly power, rather than the power of vulnerability. The cross of Christ reveals God's power through vulnerability. Now, when you watch the Power Rangers, what happens within 30 minutes every single time? They win, right? Who always wins in the Power Rangers? The Power Rangers. That's right. That's what heroes do, right? They win. Trevor Hudson is a pastor in South Africa, just outside Johannesburg, and he writes that God's power creates and redeems, liberates and heals. I'm concerned, however, he says, that we often speak about God's power in a triumphalistic way. We say that God's power is at work when everything works out well. But what do we do when we have parents who have a child with leukemia? What do we do when we have thousands of young people in South Africa looking for a job, he asks. What does it mean to a mother of three who is dying? What kind of God is represented then? Although God is powerful, that power is revealed in vulnerability, in weakness, in suffering. That's the gospel secret. The God we worship has come to us in Jesus. Our hero's story reveals that he has always been powerful and vulnerable. His first bed was a feeding trough for animals, and yet his birth announcement was delivered by angels. Vulnerability and power. His earthly father was a poor carpenter who was begging for a place for him to be born so that he wouldn't be born out in the streets. And his heavenly father celebrated his birth with a natal star that was beyond anything that had ever been seen before or since. Vulnerability and power. As he came in to claim his kingdom, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, not in a chariot, weeping, not rejoicing. And yet people lined the parade route with palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the ground and shouting, Hosanna. And within a week, he hung on a cross. And he whispered, forgiveness. Vulnerable and powerful. There are two ways to live, Paul is telling us. We can be our own heroes. We can rely on our own power. We can set our minds on earthly things. Or we can look to Jesus and rely on his power and set our minds on heavenly things. But we can't be our own heroes and rely on Jesus' power at the same time. We have to become vulnerable. It is at our weakest point that God enters our lives, where we hurt the most, that place of emptiness, that place where the ground is shifting under our feet, out of our control. When we stand there, Jesus meets us. Reverend Dr. Tony Campolo tells about preaching at a church. And on impulse, at the close of the service, he said, anybody who wants to stay and be prayed for healing may stay, and I will stay here and pray with you. And he said he just felt moved to take his time and pray for each person, to hear their stories and to pray with them and hug them and anoint them with oil. 4 days later, Tony tells, I got a phone call. And the woman on the other end said, Tony, on Sunday, you prayed for my husband. He had cancer. He said, when I heard the word had, my heart quickened a little. Had cancer? I asked. The woman answered, well, he's dead now. With that, Tony says, I thought to myself, a lot of good I do. And then the woman said, you don't understand. When my husband and I walked into that church on Sunday, he was angry. He was angry with God. He had cancer and he knew that he was going to be dead soon. And he hated God for letting it happen so soon. He wanted to see his grandchildren grow up more than anything. At night, he would lie in bed and curse God. It was horrible. And the anger toward God built. And he was angry at everything around him and everyone around him. It was unbearable to be with him. We didn't even want to be in the same room with him. His nastiness just kept getting worse and worse. But then you laid hands on him Sunday morning and you prayed for him. And when we walked out of church, I knew something was different. I could feel it. He was a different person. The last 4 days of our life, she said, have been the best 4 days we've ever had together. We talked and we laughed. We even sang hymns together. It was a good, good time. She paused. Then she added something really profound. Tony, she said, he wasn't cured, but he was healed. His cancer didn't go away. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But Jesus met him at the point of his deepest need. And Paul tells us in Philippians 3:21 that what happened, happened by the power of the Holy Spirit as he opened himself in prayer. Paul writes, Jesus will transform our humble bodies that they might be conformed to his glorious body. Jesus takes our humble bodies and shapes us into his glorious body. As they stood in the sanctuary, that man stood in his place of greatest weakness, and Jesus met him there. In his vulnerability, her husband received the power of God, power of knowing that his citizenship was in heaven, power that prepared him for his journey home. He had a choice: to be his own hero, to rely on his own power, to set his mind on earthly things, or to look to Jesus, to rely on God's power, to set his mind on heavenly things. But he couldn't be his own hero and rely on Jesus' power at the same time. He had to become vulnerable and meet Jesus in that place of weakness. He had to allow Jesus to be the hero. We have the same choice to make in our lives. We all have places of weakness. We all have places of pain, of fear. When we go there, Jesus, our hero, meets us there. He meets us in power at our place of weakness. Thanks be to God. Amen.